What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Separation is in the Preparation. My guest today, an old teammate, an old friend, Preston Kilwine. Press, what's up, brother? Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Looking forward to our talk.
Yeah, of course, dude. Super, super excited to have you on. To begin, could you just kind of introduce yourself a little bit more to the audience and then talk a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, my name is Preston Kilwine. I currently play soccer for South Georgia Tormenta in USL League One. From the Bay Area, California. Grew up, you know, all up and down the West Coast, but ended up playing college in Florida, college soccer in Florida. And yeah, just been enjoying the pro life and not taking it for granted. So that's me.
Outstanding, man. No, Prest for me is like, when I think about a good professional, he is somebody who comes to mind in terms of like being the prototype for doing all the right things and then just being able to persist. I think people don't understand how difficult it is to have a job at the beginning of other year and beginning of each year, and your career has taken you to many different places as we'll get into. But I think just the fact that you're able to kind of keep going and find ways to be successful in different environments with different coaching staff, different teammates, is worth mentioning and worth applauding. So just to start off with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You very much.
Yeah, of course. But I guess where we usually like to start is kind of at the beginning. So for you, like, what were your kind of earliest experiences with sports? And what was it about the game of soccer that made you gravitate towards it and end up kind of specializing in sticking with it the way that you have?
Yeah, you know, so both my parents are very sporty sort of people. My dad is in sports information director, an SID for universities. Right now, he's currently at UC San Diego. And my mom played college basketball, was Texas State Player of the Year back in high school, like All-American. So the sports have always kind of just been part of my life, you know, whether I wanted it or not, but I always wanted it. So, but yeah, I think, you know, just growing up, I was always around every sport. I think I was one of those kids that kind of just played everything. Luckily, was pretty athletic, so I could, you know, do decently well in most of them. But, you know, soccer was just, I think, the most fun for me at the time when I was younger. Never really viewed it as like, oh, I have to go to practice, or like, oh, we have a game in Turlock this weekend. You know, it wasn't ever any one of those situations. But funny enough, actually, as I got older, I took about a year and a half off of footy for about 14 to 15 years old. Just fell out of love with it. I wasn't having fun anymore. And I actually started playing high school football. And then I talked to the high school soccer coach, and just, you know, some crazy opportunity came up. He had just started a club. So I was, I think, 14, turning 15, playing U18 in California, just with some brand new club team. You know, we weren't very good, but that made me fall in love with soccer again. Just being able to play and have fun, no pressure about, you know, trying. I mean, obviously you want to be the best and be the best team, but there's no pressure about like, we have to be number one in the state or have to be top five in the state. Like, there was no immediate sort of like, you play bad, like, done, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was key for me to continue my love for it. And, you know, it's just, it hasn't gone away since.
For sure. And was it kind of like a reset of expectations? I mean, you mentioned it being like a new club and you were playing up with older players. And so did you kind of felt like, were you kind of operating from a place of like, you know, I have like nothing to lose. Like, people aren't going to expect me to go out here and be successful because these guys are older and bigger than me and more experienced. Is that kind of it? And that kind of refresh sort of gave you a new lease on the game and your experience playing in it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I think when you're young, you don't really, you know, think about that kind of stuff too much. I think for me, it was just more, I just moved back into California, back into the area from Seattle, actually. I just moved back down. So it was kind of like, no one here knows me anyways. So like you said, I got nothing to lose. There's no, like, I have to be impressive and impress everybody all the time. So I think that, like you said, the expectation of just not having expectations on me was, I think, key for me.
For sure. And how have you managed to, I know we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit here, but how have you sort of managed to kind of like keep those expectations in check, right? And I think as anybody knows who's had success in kind of any sort of field, right, is when you're successful, people then expect you to continue that sort of sustained level of success and excellence. And for some people, that buildup of pressure can really weigh on them. And for sure, in the professional sport environment, like where results come first and there's a real pressure to win, the weight of those expectations can become super heavy if you allow it to. So for you, what has been the process of finding ways to definitely enjoy it, finding ways to make your experience as a pro sustainable and continue to be the competitor that you are, but not letting yourself get wrapped up too much in those expectations?
Yeah, I think some of it comes from a place of, you know, you live and you learn. Like you said, you go through situations where it's a hard time. You're having, you know, a lot of expectation on you and you're just not playing well at the moment. And, you know, everyone has those moments. And whether bottom league, top league, everyone has those times in their life, even in just regular life, you know, life's hard. But I think, you know, just recently and more and more recently, I've been trying to kind of get into the mood and the mindset of just enjoy what you're doing. You know, like, sadly, you know, we all know it can't last forever. So I think for me, it's just, I have an expectation for myself, but I don't let other people's expectations dictate my expectations. So, like, for example, this year, you know, I think going down from USL Championship to League One, for me, it was a bit of an ego check, I think, in the beginning. But, you know, like, it's a very, very talented league. And I think coming into the year, I put a lot of expectations on myself to be perfect. And I think when you start overthinking it, overcomplicating those expectations and those, like, oh, I know I need to do that. I think when you start overthinking that kind of stuff, it just compounds. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, again, just have to enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, there's a saying that I heard not too long ago that just sort of stuck with me, is that there's a number on everything, right? There's a number of times we get to do everything it is that we do in life. And typically you don't know that something is the last time you're doing something until after you've done it for the last time. So the only way to kind of miss out on that sort of regret of leaving stuff on the table is to treat it like you're saying, like that it could be the last time that you're doing it, and enjoying it as much as you can. And I think that piece of just orienting yourself and focusing on yourself and doing your job is super wise and has applications beyond soccer, beyond professional sports, just to life in general, right? Because always there'll be people around you doing things, maybe you're doing the same thing, but they're going to approach it in a totally different way. And we get wrapped up in what other people think or what other people have done in the past. And yeah, if using others as a measuring stick is unsustainable, right? Because people come in and out of your life.
But especially in this business.
100%. So I know you talked a little bit about having the multidisciplinary background, playing some football, playing some soccer, playing some other sports, your mom being a basketball player. I'm sure you were involved in some hoops growing up as well. Can you think of skills that transferred over from those other activities that you were involved in, be it from a team aspect, from a coordination, motor control stuff, that you looking back, okay, oh, I'm really glad I had this experience outside of soccer because it served me well now that I'm just playing soccer?
Yeah, I think, you know, I moved around a lot growing up, so I think this is a little bit of a two-part answer. But I think being on different teams and being in different environments and different places in the country, it really helped me mature. And I wouldn't say mature as in every aspect of life, you know, I think, but in terms of, like, sport, I think I really matured in terms of, like, I know, like, okay, I have school ends at 3, this practice is still 5:30, go to soccer right away, be there by, you know, 6:30, then I gotta go home, like, eat, do homework, do everything I have to do. I think it just kind of matured me, and I think that's one of the big things for me, was just maturing socially and, you know, competitively.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I think that social piece is so important, because as a pro, there's all sorts of different baggage that people bring into different situations. Oh, is this guy coming to take my spot? Or how much money is this guy on compared to me? And it can become a really complicated thing if you let it, but it can also be really simple. And that was one of the things that resonated with me most about you, is when we first met, when I came in as a rookie to Red Bull and you were coming back from your second year there, you're just like, okay, what's up, man? I'm Preston, like, welcome. And you were just simple, chill, no problem. And then, like, using that as like a foundation and a building point, like you create space to create meaningful relationships with people, which I know you have done just knowing the people that you've been around and how people speak so highly of you as a teammate. So for you, I mean, you talked about your parents being involved in sports was like that aspect of team, that aspect of like being a collect, a part of a collective that is greater than the sum of its parts. Was that something that always kind of came easy to you? Was that something that your parents kind of talked about with you, like being a good teammate, things like that? Or how did that kind of come about for you?
Yeah, I think it was always one of those classic parent-child moments where they like preach it so much that you just kind of want to fight back a little bit. But yeah, I think definitely they were always just make sure you're doing the right things for your team. Make sure that you're helping the teammate that needs help. Make sure you need, you know, you go introduce yourself to a new kid that's trying out or is on trial. Just make that little effort because you don't know how much that really will affect somebody. So I think just, yeah, like you said, I think you hit it straight on the head. And I think that she, my mom especially, really helped me because being the high level athlete of like how she was, it kind of helped me because it kind of set a bar not to put any expectation on myself to where she would tell me off if I did something wrong. Like she'd be like, Preston, you can't do that. Like that type of situation. Like you need to be a better teammate here, or like you need to make sure that he's okay. Like help them, you know? And I think that was a big thing with them trying to teach me sort of like that piece.
Absolutely, man. No, it's, you set a great example, and the behavior that you exhibited during my first year has been behavior that I've tried to emulate. It's like always you go to a new place and either you're the new person or there's new people with you, and it's easy. There's always going to be those guys who are naturally socially kind of introverts, and they're going to sit in their spot mm-hmm. in a locker room and they're going to kind of do their own thing. And it falls on the people around them to kind of extend the olive branch and help them sort of step outside of their shell. And every time that I've done that, those people end up having so much amazing things to share, be it experiences or mm-hmm. advice or perspective. But it's a good lesson in life, right? Like it's easy to get wrapped up in your own problems, your own world, but like you said, everybody's going through the same thing. Everybody's feeling the same highs and lows that you are. So finding space to kind of create that sort of shared experience, is really important, but it's not always easy, right? Especially like things aren't going well for the team. Things are going well for you or both. Like in those moments where you're just like, shoot, I really just want to focus up on myself and not have to put up with like the BS that everybody else is having to deal with or bringing in. Like, how do you kind of fight through those moments to practice consistently? Cause I think that your consistent practice of these positive behaviors is what sets you apart. So what's your thought process in those moments where it's really hard to do the right thing?
I think, you know, a big part of it is when you show up to the facility or to the training pitch or wherever you are, even work in regular life, when you show up there, it's important for that time that you're in that window to only focus on that window. So you could have something going on at home. It's a lot easier said than done, you know, like you said, and like we both said, a lot of people go through a lot of things and a lot of people have battles they don't speak about. So I think just trying to show up and be in that mindset, but also have a mindset about, you know, if he's off today, I get it. I kind of, you know, I say hello, do my thing, but also try to incorporate them into what you're doing or like talk to them a bit. But, you know, I think it's just more that window, that time slot that you're at work. I think that it has to be work. And then when you get home, then you can go back to, you know, having to deal with what you got to deal with. You can go back to complaining and moaning about what happened during training. But like if you're in that window, and I think that's the most important thing, just stay focused in that time, because it's not even really that long of a day, especially for us. Professional athletes, it's really not that long of a work day. So if you really think about it, our coach said this year, if a 90-minute game, I think, is 4% of your day. So stay focused for 4% of your day. And that is just, I think, so key to me. And I think I've taken that in like really well this year.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. It just, what I hear you talking about is kind of compartmentalizing your life a little bit. And that compartmentalization leads to a higher level of focus. And in that, it's like, the piece that you touched on as well is like, so you're creating space outside of training to feel the way that you feel about it. Like for me, sometimes I've fallen into the trap of trying to convince myself that I feel great about stuff all the time, right? Because I feel like, oh, I'm doing this stuff, doing this job that everybody wants to have. But even if you're doing something that you've always wanted, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be what you always wanted, right? So mm-hmm. I think
exactly.
Instead of trying to convince yourself that you're great when you're not, or that you're bad when you actually do feel great or whatever, like creating space to actually feel what you're feeling and then boom, process that, move forward. So like you said, when it comes to that 4% of the day that you have to be focused and dialed in, you have gas in the tank and stuff like that. Cause otherwise, like, you know, like the game will chew up people and spit it out and then they'll be done. And especially when you've had the trajectory that you've had, where you've had to go different places, New York, Charleston, Pittsburgh, now South Georgia, Temecula, down in Statesboro. It's like, when you're moving from place to place, what has been sort of your grounding kind of principles or strategies for acclimating to, whether it's a new style of play, new teammates, new coaching staff, new place that you're living? How have you kind of managed to maybe not standardize the process, but set yourself up for success from the go at each new place?
I think a lot of it helps with a lot of it comes from my childhood. Like I think I touched upon, just moving around so much. I think it became easy for me that the older I got, like I had to go to college. I left college after I graduated high school. And I went straight to Florida and it was very easy for me. All right, let's get back in that mode of like, it's a new team, new city, new surroundings, but you're used to this. This isn't really a new situation for you. Just growing up in that sort of moving a few times. And I think it still plays a part to this day where everything's foreign, everything's brand new, but things for me was just, you know, you've been through this, nothing new.
Absolutely. I kind of hear you talking about there, this idea of using past experience as a way to kind of ground yourself and have some confidence stepping into a new environment. And for me, that is a key piece of preparation, right? Using what I've done before as a confidence builder, as a jumping off point to be like, yeah, I can do this. I've done it before. Just like you're kind of telling yourself. So just when we think about preparation in general, for you, as specific or as broad as you'd like, what does it mean to prepare?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of different aspects of preparation. I think there's the mental preparation, which, you know, I think personally I've been getting just into the mood of listening to this more inspiring sort of like a Kobe talk or like a Jordan or, you know, one of those high level athletes or just high level people that have the mindset of being great. And I think for me, like that sort of has been a big key in the past couple of months for me. But making sure your body's right, making sure that, you know, if I'm feeling tight, what can I do about it? Foam roll it out, stretch it out, go for a walk, go for a jog, whatever it may be. So I think that's the mental preparation, physical preparation. And you just got to, it's a broad one, but just life. Like you have to be prepared for life, you know, because not everything's going to go to stick to the script. And I think if you're prepared for any situation that may arise, whether, you know, on the way to a game and you get an accident or, oh, I forgot, like maybe they don't have my right boots. They didn't bring my right boots to the away game, whatever. You know what I mean? I think you just kind of have to sort of be willing and ready to adapt. So you prepare as best as you can for the outcome that you want, but you have to be willing to adapt and be ready to adapt at all times.
Yeah, I really like that because you're touching on both the importance of having a consistent routine and sort of scaffolding that you operate out of as a means of always being ready, always preparing yourself for all different sorts of circumstances. But in that, you're building in some bandwidth and some flexibility to deal with those moments where the unexpected comes up, because we can prepare as much as we can, but almost guaranteed is there's going to arise a situation that we didn't think of. And if you're so locked into your, oh, I got to be foam rolling at this point and stretching at this point and then getting to, you know what I mean? And then all it takes is just 100%. One grain of sand to fall into that machine.
And then you just feel lopsided.
Yeah, and then you're breaking down on the side. So what's been your kind of process for, because the routine for me at least, and I think for many, it brings a sense of comfort, consistency. I know what to expect. Mm-hmm. How do you, and maybe it goes back to your kind of comfort moving from place to place and being open to new experiences. How do you kind of balance like consistently doing the things that you know that you need to do, whether it's body stuff, nutrition, sleep, whatever. But then when the moment comes where whatever, like you didn't have time to grocery shop or the hotel is really hot, so you don't get the sleep that you need the night before. How do you kind of reboot or refresh when the turnaround is really quick, whether it's training or a match?
Yeah, I think A lot of it, I think, personally comes down to just mental sort of resets. You know, physically, I might not feel great, but I think if you got like little knocks and stuff gone, but I think just a mental reset is sort of like key, you know. And again, you know as well as I do, these three game weeks are taxing. You know, that's like the perfect example is game Saturday, game Wednesday, game Saturday. What can I do in these days to like mentally prepare myself for the next one without dwelling on the last one? So I think, you know, just there has to be some sort of mental reset. So for me, my comfort is, you know, talking to my girlfriend, playing video games, watching TV, just sort of getting my mind away from what, like that 4% of the day that we had talked about, starting to get my mind away from that, get a reset, and then start focusing on the next thing I have to attack.
And would you say, like, in your preparation, because I've heard you talk a lot about already, like the mental side of things, whether it's refreshing, compartmentalizing, being hyper focused when you have to be, and then being relaxed when you have the space to do so. Do you think that is something that in your preparation separates you from others, or is there another thing that you kind of put your finger on, like this is something that I do that many people don't, or this is something that I do with a level of intensity and focus that other people can't reproduce?
Yeah, I think in the past 2 to 3 years, I think the mental side of the game has really taken a toll. And I think the mind is so powerful and can control so many things that I think if you know, you can do all the prep you want in terms of outside of, you know, like food, nutrition, sleep, like all that kind of stuff. But I think if you don't have like that correct mindset and that willingness to sort of be driven in that way, I think it's all going to come up to and catch up to you at some point. But I think just, you know, I wouldn't say I have anything crazy sort of routine wise, preparation wise, but I think just that mental reset for me, that like if I've had a bad game, I need to knock it. Like I need to just knock it out of my brain, be upset for the next couple hours. And then when you wake up, it's done, new day.
So what was that process like for you, kind of getting to a place where you could, like you're saying, get rid of stuff and not let things hang around? Because I'm imagining, right, this is learned by experience from where before there was a time where, yeah, exactly, right, things would hang around much longer than they needed to. How did you, was that something like that you figured out on your own? Was that like using your support system, being your girlfriend, your family, to talk about stuff and them kind of helping you through that process? How did that come about?
Definitely both. I think definitely a bit above support system 100% has always been very key for me. I think I'm an only child, so my parents are like my world, and now like my girlfriend's part of my world, and I think for me like that is just so big. But you also have to learn a lot on yourself because no one's helping you on the field, like at center, you know, at center back or at keeper, like a lot of pressure's on you all the time, and like I can't go do your job for you and you can't come do my job for me. You know, and I think one of the big ones, one of the big keys for me was Ibra back in Red Bull. We had a talk and he's like, oh, like what's going on? And I was like, Eves, man, I'm just not playing well. Like, I just don't, I'm trying every doing everything right. I think I'm doing the right things and it's just not happening. He said, just forget about it. He said, you think that I didn't go through this when I played? You think that anybody here is not going through anything? Like all this stuff. He's just like, the way that you kind of get through it is just, I wouldn't say like mature and get over it, but just, yeah, feel the hurt, feel the pain, feel the, you know, what am I doing? And I think that was just definitely, like you said, a lot of learned personal, you know, moments and games and training, stuff like that. But it's got to come down to just, you know, yourself, because you have to be driven to do it yourself. There's no one that's going to, you know, tell you, hey, go do your mental work or go just make sure you think about, you know, what to do next. No one's really doing that for you, you know? And I think that's just, it's a big, big mix of both. And then I think Ibra was a big key for me.
Yeah, that's really well said. I mean, I think about it a lot, like no matter how good or bad today was, tomorrow is still coming. And tomorrow doesn't care if today you were buzzing or today you're at the bottom. It's going to come with the same set of challenges and good things and bad things that it was going to come with anyways. But yeah, you touched on like the relationship you had with Ibra at Red Bull, and of course your girlfriend and your parents being super, super steady and solid sources of support. When you look back at your trajectory now as a player? Or is there anyone else that kind of stands out as like, okay, this person was really crucial for me in certain moments? Or maybe it's not maybe one person, but one piece of advice that you got there, like, okay, now I, when I heard this, it resonated, or maybe it didn't resonate right away, but now it's something that I carry with me daily.
Yeah, I think being able to sort of be in the profession where it's 21 most of the time, you know, there's obviously when they're younger, but it's sort of the same sort of age range, but there's always those a few guys that are a lot older, not a lot older, 30, 29, 30, 31, 32, whatever. I think those guys, as I'll name Alex Dixon for one, has been really key for me. Met him when we were playing at Red Bull, and he was on Hartford. Like, we just started talking, became cool, and ended up playing at Pittsburgh together. And he was just sort of like, I would lean on him a lot in terms of like if I was having a rough time. And you know, said like that coach isn't the easiest coach to play for sometimes, and he was always just trying to help me out and just sort of, you know, giving me advice, you know. And then once I left Pittsburgh as well, like I was calling him once a week, like just talking about things, just asking him like, hey, like if this situation comes up for like the next season, what do you think? Like what would your opinion be? And stuff like that. And I think he was just really key for me. But I think just having people with experience around you, and especially in this field, like having guys that have been around for years, having guys that have been at the top and are now with you. Vice versa, guys that have been at the bottom and now they're where you are and they're excelling. I think you can take little bits and pieces of every single person on your team and sort of like use that for your own gain.
No question. I mean, I think it's one thing for there to be somebody in your life who's got something to share, something to help you, and something that's going to benefit you. But it's a whole other thing to open yourself up to hearing that. Because sometimes what we need to hear most in a certain moment is what we want to hear least, right? And it takes some pushing the pride, the ego to the side to be like, look, okay, I need to hear what this person's going to tell me because it's going to help me. And what's exciting and really cool for me to see is I kind of see your own evolution as becoming somebody like that for other people, right? As you go on and with your career, I know with your personality, you're going to be able to be what Alex Dixon has been to you, what Ibra has been to you, to somebody else, which is a really special thing and something, and it's a transition that not everybody can go through or does. But like when I think about you, there's always going to be things that I remember from having you as a teammate, but like whenever the game is done for you, when you look back at your career, what are the things that you hope that the people that you played with remember you most for?
Kind heart, for sure. I think whether it's people in the club, teammates, people, fans, I think as long as they think and, you know, realize and sort of believe that I'm a good person and that I always had the best intentions at heart, I think that for me is like the number one thing. Obviously, oh, made some great blocks, you know, kicked the ball pretty far. It's always fun to hear, always fun, you know, to probably look back on when I'm older. But I think most for me is he showed up to work hard and he always had the right intentions.
And if you could think about one thing in your life or your career or whatever that you take like the most pride in, what would that be?
I think just trying to be a nice person. I think, you know, like I think we talked about, I think you never really know what anyone's going through in their own life. I think that one little bit of kindness for somebody one day could be the world. So I think just, you know, I really just try to be the nicest person I can be. Sometimes you got to flip that switch and, you know, become the mean guy, but all of it has the best intentions at the heart still. So I think that for me is probably one of the key thing.
So I wonder, it's no surprise to me that we got along as teammates because I try and orient myself in the same way. But it is a business that sometimes does not reward the guy being nice. Sometimes like you're too nice and like there's the dumb saying, oh, the nice guy finishes last. Maybe that's more of like a relationship setting or whatever. But I think some people apply it to life in general. And I like, for me, I push back against that because I know for me, and I'm sure you feel the same way, to be any other way over time is going to be unsustainable and hurt us at our core. But I do wonder, how do you navigate and operate the way that you do in a business that can be cutthroat and reward people who are selfish instead of selfless? Mm-hmm. So how do you like put yourself first, right, in the ways that you need to as a professional, but also stay true to what's most important to you, which is treating people the proper way.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a little twofold. I think the one big part of our profession is I can't go anywhere without your help. You know what I mean? I can't look good unless you are doing your job as well. So there's always those people that you know on your team that respond very well to being bollocked, you know? Like, they're like, okay, now I gotta wake up, like, I gotta do my thing. Some people that don't respond to that. Some people you need to pat them on the back, hey, you're fine, let's go next one. So I think, you know, it's definitely hard to try to come in every single day and be the nice guy. There's definitely days that I'm, you know, not the nicest, but I'm not terrible, I'm not mean. You know, I just kind of sit by myself. Yeah, I think everyone needs those days sometimes, but you know, you're, like you said, it's a cutthroat business, and you see a lot of people that succeed who are, you know, who don't really care, but you see a lot of people who succeed that do really care. And I think you got to really gravitate towards those people that you know that care, and that you know are the best intentions are coming from them. But yeah, it's hard, and I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy. But you know, I'm grateful for everything that I've been through, and just try to show up every day, positive attitude, be nice, and hopefully it all works out, you know?
Absolutely, man. I think way better to have tried to do things in the way that you feel is the best way. And maybe that effort or endeavor doesn't go as far or the direction that you anticipated when you begun. But to me, that's way better than doing things some fake way that you, where every day you're waking up and looking in the mirror and not proud of the person that you're being and stuff like that. And maybe that takes you to where you wanted to go. But the funny thing about that is, like, I guarantee when you get there, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to be fulfilled and stuff like that. And
yeah,
that's a challenge, right? You try to be people are driven by success, but like, sometimes success comes at a cost, and like you talk about enjoying it, right? And not taking things for granted. So like, for you, how do you consistently stay happy and enjoy life? Again, this is a big question, but maybe in a soccer context, but like, it's so easy to be down in the dumps, right? Like, oh shoot, we lost two on the road. We're struggling. It's hot. Like, I don't have all the things that I want to have. Like, it'd be so easy to show up every day and just be like, oh, this is the worst. But what for you is like a reminder or like a jumping off point or like a reset to be like, I don't know if you kind of talked about this already, but like, yeah, this is fun. Like, I need to be enjoying this.
One of them's definitely got to be just lacing up your boots. Like, who's doing that? Who's putting their boots on and going and running around with people like that you enjoy hanging out with and playing with? And, you know, how many people are really saying that they go into work every single day loving what they do? Because it's like actually fun. Like, you go and we play soccer, you know, like, you know, not everybody loves what they do, but they do it because they got to have a means of support. I think for me, it's just you lace up your boots and you're just like, whoa, like, I get to go play soccer for another 2 hours, you know. Another one is definitely my friends. I think being around a lot of friends that if I ever complain, I'm ever upset and saying something, first thing I always hear is, hey, you're there, I'm not. Or, hey, at least you're there. At least you're still playing, because I'd kill to keep playing. And I think that is a huge reminder for me, because, you know, like, it's just so true. Growing up and you have a lot of friends, especially when you go to college and you meet a lot of people, and you know, not everybody can say they can go pro, or not everyone can go pro. So I think when you're here and you constantly have people that are reminding you, like, hey, like, look at where you are. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. No, again, your perspective on things, I think, is something that sets you apart. And again, so easy to get wrapped up in inside of just our life. But again, when you take a look outside of yourself and see where you sit in relation to people in general, whether it's soccer, life, education, things like that, I think even when we are feeling the most like unlucky and unfortunate, when we do that, we can really take a step back and be like, okay, wow, like, I actually got a lot of stuff going for me. But it's not always easy to do. But I think you're somebody who does a really good job of doing his best to do it all the time. And I think, again, like, there's not a lot of people who I've been around who've been able to do it. And so it's been a pleasure kind of getting some insight into the way that you operate and the way that you try to stay consistent and steady when the stuff that's going on around you maybe isn't either of those things. So anyways, for me to you, Press, this has been awesome. And yeah, tons of gratitude. And from me to you, this has been special. Thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Separation is in the Preparation podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do what you can to share it with others. As always, you can find us on Instagram at @thesepisinthePrep, or if you'd like to reach me directly, I can be found on all social media platforms under the handle @wallaps11. Thanks, and see ya.